Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Monday, May 15th, 2023. Today, our readings will take a turn, and we actually hear readings in preparation for both Ascension and Pentecost. So it's these are readings that we actually do every year so that we're always well-tuned in to the time of the year. All right, Ascension will celebrate Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And then, of course, Pentecost is a week from Sunday. All right, so this coming Sunday will be the Sunday after the Ascension, and then, of course, then Pentecost the following week. Pentecost, I'm actually going to help prepare my fellow pastors in our three circuits of Sheboygan County this morning. So this is actually being pre-recorded early so that I can get to the conference here in a few, and then after I pray with the children, and then lead actually our fellow pastors in preparing, as I do with you, for Pentecost. So, all right. With that, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, memory verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know what? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it a little bit slower. I got some feedback. I can't hear you, so I don't know if I'm saying it too fast. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, verses 2 through 3. All right, try to remember to not go too fast. All right. Our psalm this week is Psalm 116. And I think here for our congregation at prayer, we'll just say the whole psalm. The sheet has only through verse 7, I believe. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. Our catechism this week, we continue in the table of duties. We have some verses here. First, to employers and supervisors. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Ephesians 6, verse 9. All right. And then to youth, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6. There you see that word submissive, right? We've talked about this before, but here, Peter does an excellent job explaining what that actually means, right? Is to be placed under in humility, all right? So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. So we ultimately are always submissive to God and those who he has placed us under, those who are older, in this case, the elders, the presbytery, or in the case of a servant or a worker under his master or his employer, right? Because ultimately, that is being placed under God's mighty hand, submissive to be set under. And again, that's for your benefit, right? They have, because they will bear responsibility for you, and they also bear certain authority to protect and to guide and to serve you, right? All right. Our first reading today is from Daniel chapter 7. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Right? An essential prophetic vision from Daniel when they were in exile in Babylon of the throne room. So you couple this with something like Isaiah chapter 6, and together you get a delightful picture of, what John does even more, a little bit more explicitly in his apocalypse in Revelation, right? But we have the prophetic voice speaking of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And having all dominion, power, and authority given to him, which was his by birthright. Okay. And then familiar, that's probably the right word, text from Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." All right. So, again, familiar because it's actually the institution of holy baptism, and so it's one of the verses we memorize when we learn the small catechism, right? So who is going to Galilee? We have the 11, right, which is, of course, sounds awkward. You expect 12, right? But we know why. This is important for the institution of the office of the holy ministry, because we have here already Jesus setting apart these 11 men, and that's key, males, to be preachers of the gospel. And this is not because they were somehow more holy than the rest. They were as sinful and, as the Passion account demonstrates, doubtful, right? And although the women were the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection, they serve that, they have that special gift, right, vocation. It's Jesus who appoints these men to be his preachers. And I know we've talked about it before, but every time this text comes up, I just remember hearing that this text was the command to the church, and that thereby to every individual Christian to be baptizers and preachers. Like, that's not how it reads. It is given to the church, but it's exercised by the apostolic ministry that's set up within the church, right? And that's for your benefit too, just like we're talking about within employers or youth being submissive to older elders. It's for your benefit that God, working by way of the Holy Spirit, appoints some to be preachers. That way you hear the word externally spoken to you, right? All right. And why did they go to Galilee? Again, to the women. Yeah, they had heard the command from Jesus as he had apostled the women, sent the women to him to do that. That's where Jesus told them he would be. All right. Then you have this odd thing in verse 17. I don't have a lot to say about it, but it is odd. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So some of the 11 still doubted that he had truly risen and was there in his body. All right. Then he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All right. Now, what is that authority that he's speaking about? I mean, his kingdom is not of this world, so he's not referring to that, nor does he did he ever really want it to be. All right. Even when Satan tempted him to take kind of earthly authority, right? Now, notice this. Back in Matthew 9, he actually told us what Jesus was speaking of here, right? So again, context. He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It's translated here as power, but it should be authority. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they thaumazoed, they marveled, and they doxologied, they glorified God, who had given such, and there it is again, the same word, exousia, authority to men. All right, so previous to me, Matthew, in his gospel, had already defined this authority, which is the authority to forgive sins, yeah, on earth. All right, then he sends his apostles now with that authority. They're apostles because they're sent, right? Go, therefore, and do what? What's their job? To make disciples by baptizing and teaching, right? Baptizing and teaching. That's how you make a disciple. They go together, right? Of course, who is actually making? They're but instruments, right? It's God the Holy Spirit's work to baptize and to teach. All right. By the way, what is a disciple? Discipulos. In Greek, a disciple is a believer or catechumen of Jesus. Literally, I think, means follower, of course. But to follow Jesus is to listen to him and to do what he tells you, right? So a believer or a catechumen. And of course, who are to be made disciples? Panta ethne, all nations, right? Is that inclusive, to use the language of today's culture, inclusive or exclusive of any age group or nationality or any other kind of distinction we might make? Who are to be baptized and to be taught all things that Jesus has commanded? Taught and to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. Well, that belongs to everyone. So people come to the church from with all sorts of distinctions made. Right? This is probably helpful when we talk about inclusivity, diversity, equity, and inclusivity, right? Is the kind of the jargon of the age, the spirit of the age, is the way that you are included in the church, regardless of how you come, whatever kinds of distinctions you're making about yourself, you come all as sinners before God, who baptizes you in his name, right? And then teaches you and changes you by your baptism, the Spirit working in your heart, to not see yourself the way that you like to distinguish yourself, but rather to be distinguished as one chosen by Jesus, right? So the church is truly inclusive, but not because it falsifies all the distinctions we make in this world, but it actually, spiritually speaking, makes one distinction, believer and unbeliever, right? Which at least eternally is the only distinction that really matters. And then as far as all the moral kind of distinctions that we make between immoral and moral, those are worked in us by the Holy Spirit, right? So yes, the alcoholic leaves his alcohol by the giving of the Spirit, right? Not by effort of or strength of our own heart, right? But rather by the Spirit's working, when and where he wills too. He might become a Christian and yet still serve the God alcohol for a time, right? According to the Spirit's work, then that repentance will be brought and that renunciation will come, God willing. All right. So it's inclusive. All nations includes all ages, colors, skin colors, I guess, nationalities. You know, these are not the same thing, by the way. Race and nation are not the same thing. Sometimes they're synonymous, but not always. All right. Lots of confusion in our world today about these kind of distinctions. What does it mean to baptize? I always ask this question. People look at me cross-eyed. What do you mean to baptize? What does it mean to baptize? What does the word mean? Well, it's what we do in the church. No. What does it mean? It means to wash with water. Very simple. Wash with water. Of course, here, it's not the water that does these things, but it's the word of God in and with the water that does them. Namely, what is that word of God? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right. And then again, note who is commanded to go baptizing and teaching. Yes, it's the church broadly speaking, but ordinarily through the apostolic ministry, right? The 11 and then those who hold the ministry that Jesus has established here. Oh, by the way, teaching them to observe. Other places it says obey for the same word. But we've talked about this word before. It's tereo. It means to hold fast to. So teaching them to hold fast all the things I have commanded you, all the things I've spoken to you, right? So we're to hold on to the teaching, all the teachings of Jesus, right? We don't exclude any, even if we don't exactly enjoy them or like them. Say the book of Ezekiel, as we're going through, right? Although I think I'm coming to appreciate that book even more than I ever have before, in that it speaks in the way of Jesus. It's just we're tone deaf to the language that Jesus uses and how much he's dependent upon the way that he had given the prophet to speak before him. All right. And of course, catechize all nations in those teachings, right? Now, on the basis of what Jesus has just said, how is he with you always, even to the end of the age? How is he with his church and his inner ministers? His ministers, the church's ministers, through the end of the ages. In the baptizing and the teaching of all things that he has commanded, right? That's how he is in the forgiveness of sins. The authority has been given in the baptism that gives that forgiveness of sins, in the teaching that also delivers forgiveness. He is with us in his church. And of course, till the end of the age is referring to the day when he returns in judgment, right? Right. So a lot going on there in those just few short verses, isn't there? In this text, Jesus instituted the preaching office for the church. He sets aside males as holders of his office. They are to proclaim all the words he preached to them, baptizing and catechizing people of every nation. They make disciples, that is, believers in Jesus. Jesus gives to this office of the holy ministry the authority to forgive sins. This authority was his to bestow because he was the one who died and rose again for the salvation of all men. Through the office of preaching, Christ wants this forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed freely to all nations. Through the office of preaching the gospel, Christ continues to be present with his church on earth. All right, good. All right, we'll sing a little bit of our hymn today. I'm running a little short on schedule. Or maybe we'll sing the whole thing. We'll see. My throat's not doing well either, as you can tell, probably. But here we go. I'm going to have to stop singing there so I can save my voice. Let me just read the rest of it to you, all right? The joy of all who dwell above, the joy of all below, to whom he manifests his love and grants his name to know. To them the cross, with all its shame, with all its grace, is given. Their name, an everlasting name, their joy, the joy of heaven. They suffer with their Lord below, they reign with him above. Their profit and their joy to know, the mystery of his love. The cross he bore is life and health, though shame and death to him, his people's hope, his people's wealth, their everlasting theme. Isn't that such a great text? Yeah. All right. We pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Lord, you have given us great responsibilities and authorities as employers and supervisors of others. Teach us by your grace and mercy to treat our workers and those who are understanding and give us a humble spirit toward them, and help us to see our workers as gifts of God who depend upon us for their livelihood and who enable us to be of greater service to others for whom we perform our life's work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, as you in humility and faith submitted yourself to Mary and Joseph and to every authority instituted among men for our salvation, teach us to submit to our elders and to believe that you will accomplish your good purposes in our lives and in the lives of others through such honor and respect. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We pray this day for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our good government, and pray to the Lord. Mercy. Thanksgiving with Karen and Lisa, who celebrated their baptism yesterday, also today, Jenny, Peyton. We pray for the households of our church, especially Chris and Nicole, Crystal, Sarah, Garrett, Jerome, and Sherry. We ask the Lord, or we give thanks to the Lord for our preservation in the faith. Pray for our catechumens. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Dale and Pam, Joe, Kelsey, Marion, Walt, Christopher, Brad, Gus and Eileen, Ron, Doug, Lenore, Sandy, O'Shea, Pat, Wade, and Darlene. Pray for our homebound, Marcella, Dan, Paul, Merlin, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutherans for Life. We intercede for the preservation and increase of hope amongst us, and for the government and those under authority. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. It's been good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. Come to you each morning at about 9 a.m. And you can watch yesterday's full complete service. We also have the catechesis on the first article of the Creed, which I did with the ladies, and then also our Bible study on Ezekiel roughly 21, depending on which Bible you use, right? Chapter 21 and the sword of Yahweh. All right, so go check that out as well if you weren't able to be here in person. All right, and of course the sermon's available. All that's probably the best place is probably on YouTube, or you can go to our website. You can see the link down below on the screen or in the show notes, right? sgjohnrandomlake.org, right? And then go to the church page and the media page, and you'll find everything there. All right, God be with you all. Keep you safe. We'll see you again tomorrow. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.